here we go. Episode 2, Best Threesome Ever. Warning before we get started on this one, obviously, spoilers, major spoilers. And if you're a nerd that hasn't seen Star Wars already, then we revoke your nerd card. So once again, I am Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin. Eating a Rolo.
Eating a Rolo. And this is the Best Threesome Ever. So first of all, obviously our major topic of discussion, as we said last time, we made some predictions in the last episode. And we're going to talk about some of those predictions. We're going to talk a little about Star Wars 7.
Thank God there's a towel on the table.
Thank God. We're going to talk about some trailers that came out recently. And then we're going to end the show kind of talking about growing up a nerd and kind of the transition that has happened over the years that became nerd culture cool, or it became cool to be part of the nerd culture, as it were. So,
okay, but first let's start off with the big topic that we've all seen it now, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Kevin.
Awaken my dick.
We might, in fact, even go see Star Wars after we're done recording this.
We're seriously considering it.
Probably, if anything, it'll just be Kevin and I. Anyways, all right, so here we go. Where do we start?
Let's start with
our predictions from last episode.
I was gonna say let's start with how we felt about the movie overall.
Okay,
critically, let's just talk about critically how we felt about it, because I loved it, and I have very tiny little bits that I want to talk about that I didn't like about it. But overall, great movie. The J.J. Abrams really. He made me happy and made me proud to be a Star Wars fan again. And finally gave us a movie that made me forget all about the prequels. Thank God.
Well, the prequels had to happen. I mean,
no, not really. They didn't
have to happen. Everybody wanted to see them.
The acting is pretty stellar throughout, with one big exception for me, and that's Pretty Boy Adam Driver, who played Kylo Ren.
I think when he was actually masked and distorted and all that, he was
fine. Awesome.
He was fine.
Yeah.
It's when he actually had to be Adam Driver with that nose and those ears, and
I
you had to listen
to
his dumb voice, and all I could think of is that awful show Girls, where I have to look at his butt and stuff.
Why did they get like the most dorkiest looking guy to be the son of Han and Leia? Seriously?
Like, back in the 70s, they were two very good looking people in a time where everybody was very ugly.
Right? Oh, and they got this dopey looking...
you're not wrong. That said, that's not my problem. My problem is that Kylo Ren is a whiny bitch.
Well, every Star Wars movie has a whiny bitch. I mean, Episode 4 had Luke. Episode 1 had fucking Anakin. I mean, it's kind of like the tradition.
Well, I don't want my villain to be the whiny bitch.
First spoiler, then. He does pass on the strong...
The strong whining
Skywalker. Male Skywalker gene. Just starting with Anakin and just bringing it on down.
Right.
In case, folks, you haven't seen the movie yet, we'll just spoil it right now. Kylo Ren is the son of Han and Leia, and he is seduced by the dark side, and specifically Supreme Leader Snoke. By the way, can we talk about...
In one second, Ben Solo, who is strongly based off of Jason Solo from the books. But given the name of one of Skywalker and Mara Jade's children.
Right, correct.
And Ben Kenobi.
You mean so. Gollum voiced the face of Bill Nighy from Underworld and Love Actually? Real. He looked at, I'm like, Bill Nighy? Or Nye? I don't know.
Bill Nighy. It's a soft G. It's a soft G and a soft H.
Jogging or yogging?
Kind of going off that, just kind of my first impression, kind of what I just talked about earlier, and I've talked about with other friends who are nerds and seen the movie. I just felt like the first time that I saw it, and I've seen it twice, I just felt the first time I wasn't like convinced it was like a Star Wars movie. And I think part of that for me is that, one, you're walking into a movie and you don't know where they're going to go with it. Before, there was kind of like, you kind of knew where they were going to go, you kind of knew what was going to happen, and now here you are in a whole new universe. So maybe it was just because I was trying to soak everything in.
Absolutely.
And I just felt like it didn't, I was like, I mean, obviously it was a Star Wars movie, but I'm like, it's so disconnected, and it's supposed to be. I mean, it's 30 years, so it's supposed to have that disconnected feeling.
Because there's still, and I agree, because there's episode one where you go into episode one for the first time knowing what characters are going to be in it. Because you know Obi-Wan's going to be there, you know Anakin's going to be in there, you know a certain story progression that they have to follow, and in this one, they're just going cuckoo bananas, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and you don't know where they're going to go. The second time I saw it, though, I felt more like, all right, this is a Star Wars movie. I agree with Rob. The J.J. Abrams knocked this one out of the park. There were the lens flares, but they were, like, subtle enough and not...
It took me until I watched it the second time to actually notice the lens flares.
Oh, that was the first thing.
I noticed them, but I wasn't bugged by them.
I'm one of the few people who don't hate
the lens flares. I think the lens flares make it look spacey and futuristic. Right. God damn it.
The only time that I really hated the lens flares was in his first Star Trek movie, which was just...
I felt it was way overboard.
And the second one was a little bit more subtle, and then this one I felt it was good. And I love the fact that everything was, like, real sets, real things. I do have a fear, though. I'll let Kevin talk about what his impressions were, but I have a fear about what may or may not happen in the rest of the movie. So, Kevin, what was your impression of the movie?
I loved it. I thought this is what the prequel should have been if George Lucas had just gotten off his high horse and just let somebody else do him. I mean, his best movie was the one he didn't direct, Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He can create a universe and create a story unlike anyone else, but he doesn't have the ability to execute. He needs to just give the reins to somebody else and let them go with it, and magic happens.
Right.
Finn was...
And if he can't hand over the reins, he can pass the torch.
Finn was fantastic. I love the bait and switch where we thought he was the new Jedi, but instead it was Rey. I love that. Though I'm not unconvinced that he's not a Force wielder, because he held his own against Kylo very well with that lightsaber.
He did.
And lore speaking, he should not have been able to.
I think he's Force sensitive. I don't think he's like a Force user, but I definitely feel that he is Force sensitive. And there were subtle hints, and I've had discussions again about the same thing, about that scene at the beginning where he doesn't shoot the citizens of the town, and that then that moment between him and Kylo Ren, like, was Kylo Ren sensing something, or was he just... Did Kylo Ren just happen to notice that this stormtrooper wasn't doing what he was supposed to?
I think he sensed the shit out of that.
The way I look at it is that I think J.J. Abrams went back, watched Star Trek Into Darkness, and went, okay, so that's how I
don't do
a big reveal. How do I do a big reveal? And he did it really well with Finn and Rey, and I thought that was great.
Was he so sweaty?
All the time, right?
All the time! Until they're on the ice planet, that was the only time that poor guy got to cool down a bit.
Because he is a beautiful, glistening Nubian god.
God, I love him. I love him. But
he's actually very pretty.
He is a very attractive man.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly what his origins are. We know he was, you know, taken as a young child to be a stormtrooper. We don't know who his family is.
I think this is a great segue. Let's talk about our predictions for the film and where we got it right and where we got it wrong. And I'm going to start off by going...
And I'm going to start off by saying...
Sort of.
You were only half right. While you did correctly predict that Han Solo would be killed, we were talking about the body that Rey was crying over on Starkiller Planet Base, whatever.
And I said that it's probably Han. You said it was probably Chewie. The answer is it was Finn.
It was Finn. And he wasn't even dead.
He wasn't even dead.
He just got knocked the fuck out by Ben.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, Han died, and that was, I don't know. I was sad, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know.
I was really happy with it, though. It was a great way to end the character.
To go on this mission, I'm like, oh, he's so fucking dead. Oh, he's dead. Oh, he's gonna die. He's
right.
Deadest.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was one thing that, like, with the other Star Wars movies that George Lucas, and I appreciated to an extent, where George Lucas, in all of the movies, foreshadowing, and predicting, like, you could predict what was going to happen in the movies by the way he told his story. You know, from, if you watch Phantom Menace, and at the very end celebration... that too. The very end celebration, the song from that is actually the Emperor's theme, just up two octaves and played in a cheerful manner, but it's still the Emperor's theme, and played a lot faster. So it's like foreshadowing, and there's just like all this... But in this movie, I didn't, even in the soundtrack, you don't hear it. You don't see it in the story. You just don't know where they're going to go. I mean, there were tidbits of original songs. So, like, when Leia was there, you heard Leia's theme, and when Han and Leia were together,
I'd watch
you heard
movie.
A little bit of the love theme from Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when the Jedi came, you heard the traditional Jedi music, but in the rest of it, there was no tidbit of anything. And maybe there might be, but there was no tidbit of the past, there was no tidbit of... You know, what may come, I don't know, it was hard to...
And the thing is, I really enjoyed that. I enjoy not knowing where these movies are going to go. I mean, with the prequels, there's always that sense of, well, we know how this ends. You know, Anakin, here comes Anakin, he's going to be Darth Vader by the end of episode 3.
Right.
We know that's going to happen, and Padme is going to be his wife who dies in childbirth and gives birth to Luke and Leia. That's going to happen.
Which, that is actually one of the things I don't understand about the prequels, is when you watch Return of the Jedi, Luke asks Leia if she remembers her birth mother, and she says yes.
She says vague, very vague.
She says she remembers she had eyes that were kind very but sad.
It's very simply... explained and
the Force?
No.
Okay.
No, we all have at least heard the story, if not know a person who grew up with that step parent that they always called their actual parent, and in some cases just assumed they were the real parent when later they find out, oh no, that's not my biological parent.
So are we operating off of the assumption that Leia was never told that she was adopted?
Yes.
Okay.
That is what my opinion is.
I could agree to that. Or and
I feel kind of dirty now because I just justified one of the prequels. All right,
high five.
Fuck.
But at the same time, I agree with you that could be it, or part of it could be, you know, as a kid, when you think about a memory from like very young age, you have it's very hazy, and maybe some of the things that she actually remembers are her having a
erupting from the womb.
Right, no. their memory is like visions, because she is Force. She's power one with the Force. They're just visions of her mom or Padme. I mean, it's a stretch, but I'm just saying that maybe that's a possibility. They're all laughing at me. They're like, no. Like, no. You're wrong.
No, I'm stuck back where Kevin said Leia erupting from the womb, and then I just imagined a camera coming up, Natalie Portman snatch,
like Fallout 3 style.
Yeah,
like
Liam Neeson's there and everything.
Yeah,
like look who's talking. Anybody remembers those?
Yeah.
Movies?
Yeah. I wish I didn't, but
yeah.
All
right. Well,
all right, other predictions that we made.
Said J.J. Abrams would spike the ball.
Yep, and I was thankfully wrong.
Super wrong.
I'm so happy that I was wrong.
I'm glad you were wrong.
I'm really glad I was wrong.
You're more wrong about that than you were right about the Han Solo death.
No, don't take away my victory on that.
I'm giving you partial credit.
No,
half a credit.
Half a credit. You get half a gold star.
I get a quarter portion.
No, I'll get
that. Thank you. If you haven't seen the movie, that's a reference.
Son of a bitch.
So J.J. Abrams won the one. Who was the Jedi, Rey or Finn? And I think,
and I think we all thought Finn, but I mean,
because he's in all the posters with the goddamn lightsaber,
and we considered
and
that.
I'm glad.
We thought briefly that it was going to be Rey, but we just sort of ignored it.
But no, you brought up the commercial.
Where the little girl dressed like Rey has Force ability. So I always assumed that Rey was going to have Force ability. I just thought that Finn was going to be the more obvious Jedi, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Rey might have Force powers too. But instead, they completely switched it around on us. With Rey's little flashback down her lineage, her lineage, because I believe that she is the son of Skywalker.
Because
Obi-Wan speaks to her in that.
Yes, and we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk about all the rumored cameos.
Well, we were talking about that. That was the next thing I was going to bring up, the children.
But really quick, I want to bring up the last prediction that we had, which was our prediction of whether or not Rey was going to be Luke's daughter or Han and Leia's daughter, and we still don't know the answer to that.
No,
we don't.
You believe it's Luke? I hope it isn't.
You hope she...
I hope it isn't. I hope she gets to have her own story and it doesn't piggyback off someone else's.
And I can agree with that, but I just don't think that's going
to
happen.
And I agree. Like, I agree with both of you. I really don't want it to happen, because that was my... Going back to what I said about my fear, is that I really... they could really fuck this whole thing up if they are just revamping in a new version, you know, episode 4, 5, and 6. Because if they do, like, they say Ben is the son of Han and Leia, and then
If
Rey becomes the daughter, the exiled daughter, not the exiled, but the separated daughter of, you know, Luke, or Han and Leia as well. I don't want it to be another brother-sister fight thing. I'm just like, oh,
yeah, I don't need that.
We've already seen this. Give us something new. So,
yeah.
While I think they probably will go with the daughter of Luke, I pray to God that she does have her own story.
Yeah.
I really hope they do.
There was just something very familial about the how she interacted with Ben and Leia's hug.
Yeah, but and them having never met before that moment.
Right.
And then they hug. And yeah, and that's true, but man, I really, really hope she gets her own story instead of...
And then there was that scene in the, again, the Cantina Part 2, which this is why I feared this.
That was one of the things that annoyed me.
That, like, you...
You didn't like the Cantina?
Mm-mm. No, because they're just redoing the Mos Eisley again. Yes.
It was basically Mos Eisley.
Right, Maz was cool.
Maz.
I dig
Maz
that.
Was fucking awesome that. And adorable.
I dig that, but I don't like how they just mirrored fucking Mos Eisley. I just felt that it was a complete... And then when she yells out Han, everybody stops what they're doing and looks after... You know, same thing after Han, Chuck, Guido. That fucking everybody stopped and looked at him. I just... But then there was that part where... My point was that she goes... She says to Han, "Tell me about this girl." And then they cut out. Like, he does. And then she goes, "Yeah, Han told me." And I don't know, did Han tell her the truth? Or did he just say, "Yeah, this is some random girl that we found, blah, blah, blah."
Right, right.
You know, because it just seemed like Han, was he trying to be just like that nice, like, you really are kind of the cool girl that we really would like to have on the Millennium Falcon? Or was it, he goes, "I really know that you're my daughter and I'm trying to protect you, so I really want you to be a part of my crew."
Or you're my niece-in-law or something.
Yeah, or niece, I know that you're my niece.
But I like that she's pulling a river in the end of Serenity. Spoiler alert.
Yes, that was... But I still felt that it was very raw. Like, somebody had mentioned to us when before we went into the movie, some guy was not trying to give us spoilers, but he's like, you know, the lightsaber battles were really good. You know, they're really raw. Like, they weren't trained, and you could tell that.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about where she is now Captain Solo.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's a question. Is it a requirement that if you fly the Millennium Falcon, you have to wear a vest? Because everybody that flies the fucking Falcon has a goddamn vest on.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yeah. Yes. As a matter of fact, there's just a cupboard that says pilot, and inside is just a random vest that will just respawn every time you take one out.
I like it. I just
And in case you lose your co-pilot, there's a grow a Wookiee cabinet over there.
Absolutely.
Take a hair and put it in a potted plant, kind of like Groot. As they do the Groot dance. Phenomenal. That's great.
Goddamn. All right.
Our very last prediction, too, was also, you know, the role that Luke played.
Oh, yeah. Luke was... we thought Luke might be Kylo... All right, you guys thought Luke might be Kylo Ren. I honestly didn't believe
it. No, we never said that.
No?
No.
No.
You're smoking crack.
Sweet.
No, we said that... We were talking about where Luke...
Tooth decay,
I had specifically said exiled himself, and the movie was going to be about the search for Luke, and I was 100%
correct. Yeah, you were absolutely right.
And again, and you were right, yep, and he was pretty much at the end of the movie. And that's, again, where I fear... That they're going to just double stuff because Luke's now Yoda and on his
Dagobah 2, yeah.
My costume was inadvertently Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
With my gray beard.
I love
his new gray robes. I want to cosplay that so bad.
Right, right. Also, yeah. I want to talk about that scene, the final scene of the film, where Rey lands on the... Fuck it, I'm just
Hawaii
gonna call it,
Island.
I'm calling it Dagobah 2, or, you know...
Paradise Dagobah?
Star Wars universe equivalent of Northern Island.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't.
Because it was
actually... Yeah, which, by the way, if you're going to exile yourself somewhere, Luke made a way better choice than Yoda did.
Yeah,
Yoda
went
to a swamp, and Luke's like, "Fuck that, I'm going for a pint."
Right?
Fair, yeah. But, but the final scene, Rey walks up the hill, and you see this shadowy figure in robes, and he turns around, and it's Luke. He takes up, I think my favorite part was when he took off the hood.
Yep.
And there's the beautiful flowing 70s gray locks of Luke Skywalker.
And too, the fact that they kept the kind of 70s haircuts that they had in the last trilogy.
I love that, yeah.
Because they basically continued the trend, and right. I love that.
And what I didn't like, though, is that when he takes off his helmet, when Kylo Ren takes off his helmet, he's got the beautiful feathered hair, and it's perfect. I'm like, no, you would have fucking helmet hair every time.
Force.
Okay. The Force, yeah.
Or my head. It's just JD hair.
If he can stop a blaster bolt midair for 10 goddamn minutes.
Oh my god.
That was amazing. Came. That was the boss.
I let's talk about that for a second. Kylo Ren seems way more powerful than any other Jedi we've seen previous. I mean, like, initially, because he's not trained, he's
with the
somewhat trained.
Exception of maybe Yoda.
Right. But, like, you've never seen Jedi. Right.
He straight up says, Rey is more powerful than me.
You've never seen Jedi do what he did. He's been able to control them, like, stop what they're doing, get into their minds. You haven't really seen that before. Not even Vader did that. I mean, Vader wanted to know where, you know, when they tortured Han in Empire, he could have just, if he was so powerful, he could have just read his mind and said, oh, I don't fucking know what you need.
My thought is, because Kylo Ren isn't trained, there are no rules in place for him. Even as a Sith Lord, Darth Vader still had a code of honor. It wasn't a great one, but, you know, it was still lawful evil.
Right.
To pull out a D&D term. In this case, Kylo Ren, chaotic evil. Doesn't give a shit about the rules.
But you do see Vader do some very subtle, very powerful shit in the movie.
Absolutely.
If you really pay attention. Like when he force-checked a dude in space from the surface of a planet. That was some good shit.
Force checked.
Empire?
Oh yeah, Empire.
He's talking to a dude.
He's
on video phone. Force chokes him through Skype.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah, I mean, he does do some powerful stuff, and maybe they're just trying to expand.
By the way, I want to call that the FaceTime Force choke,
yeah? Yeah, absolutely.
FaceTime choke.
But I think the reason why both he and Rey, and this kind of leads me back to Rey being Luke's daughter again, is because they are the children of the balance of the Force. The balance of the Force was, they thought was Anakin, but really it's the children Anakin gave birth to, Luke and Leia.
There's a great theory about that, too.
And so that's why I think they're so powerful, is they're the two children of the two most powerful Force users, but Leia never, you know, went to her full potential, apparently.
I recently saw an interview with George.
But still Force sensitive,
because she felt Han die.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that broke my fucking heart.
Right? And if that was sadder than him dying, was her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
it was very Obi-Wan watching the planet destroyed.
Yeah, I started tearing up as Han died, but then you see Leia double over in pain.
Right, and
that broken heart, though.
Like, yeah. My tears flowing like a river from my face.
I saw an interview recently with George Lucas, and he explained that Anakin is actually he is the chosen one, because ultimately at the end, he killed Palpatine, and he killed himself while doing it, hence killing off all Sith. Although, if you really think about it, that's not bringing balance to the Force, because if there's still Jedi out there, and to be balanced, you need a good and an evil.
Technically, he brought balance to the Force by bringing it down to two each.
Yeah.
Right, but he killed off all the supposedly killed the Sith by killing the Emperor and killing himself. Mm-hmm. And so there was no Sith left, but then that would mean there was only Jedi, which would mean technically there would be an unbalanced.
Unbalanced, and then there's a Smoke motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like Snoke.
Yeah.
I like him. I'm excited to see him.
My theory might be behind Snoke is that which is not canon anymore, but I think they're going to try to bring it back, was that in like Shadows of the Empire and all that other stuff, they said that Palpatine was never dead, that they had just cloned him, and that the fort, that his...
He's just a wrecked clone?
He's a wrecked clone of...
I have a different theory.
Of Emperor Palpatine, that he embodied, or at least partially embodied, this clone, and then just threw everything in the evilness of the Force.
What he did with
him.
Luke Skywalker in the books, Empire.
Right, yeah. Right. And that, you know, there was clones of Empire, or the Emperor, and stuff like that, so...
Yeah. I have a different theory.
What's your theory?
My theory is he's Darth Plagueis.
Darth Plagueis died, though.
Did he?
He killed him in his sleep.
Did he? Show me the body.
Yeah.
Palpatine.
No body, no death.
Palpatine said he killed him, and you would have to become the next Sith Lord, you would have, or the, whatever above a Sith Lord. But you would have to kill.
But do you?
Yeah.
It's not like in Harry Potter with the Elder Wand. You don't have to kill the holder of the Elder Wand, it just certainly helps.
Yeah.
But why then why would he then why would
the rule is just defeat.
Then why you would kill he then why would he wait so long and not put revenge on Palpatine?
No, because George Lucas didn't have the technology.
Yeah. Also my other thought on Snoke. The fact that he talks to them all through video comm is a fake out. He's tiny.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I don't think he's like Yoda tiny, but I think he's...
But I think he's at least normal size or smaller.
I think he's normal size. The only reason he's I think they made him so big...
The Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
Right. He did the, I'm the powerful head honcho, I need to be bigger than life and like the Wizard of Oz type thing.
I think that's spectacular. No, I
but
think
But I think he's going to be skinny and frail and...
Yeah, I think well, he's skinny, absolutely. Frail, and no, I don't, at least average size.
And you're not the first person to say that. I don't think he's like tiny, like a foot tall.
I think he's average size or smaller.
But look at him. I mean, he looks, you can see it in his face, you can see the damage on his face and his top of his head, and yeah, I think he's very frail and tiny, but, and that could be why you were saying he's Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, I think he's Darth Plagueis.
He survived the killing, or the...
Yeah. I think he's been hiding out. I think he is like Maz, and is like 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is the overarching evil throughout all 9 films.
I'm really enjoying her character. See, George Lucas, that's how you do a full CGI character who isn't a piece of shit.
No, you're absolutely right. She is, honestly, the
voice,
best.
The girl who plays her voice.
Lupita Nyong'o is...
Oh my god, she is so hot.
In case you didn't understand what he said, because he buried his hands in his face, that he said that she is so hot.
Yes. But the character in the movie looks nothing like Lupita Nyong'o.
No.
Not even a little bit.
As we said, does Snoke look like
Andy Serkis. True.
No. He looks more like Bill Nighy.
Yeah. That said, Maz is... I gotta give it to Maz for my favorite character from the film.
Mine's still Rey.
Was great! But I'm a big fan of, like, the little, tiny, eccentric supporting characters.
She's new Yoda, and we've all come to accept this.
Right, especially when she crawled across the table, totally Yoda from Empire when he first meets Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, don't fucking double what you've already done. Just make it a whole new thing, and that's why I'm fearful.
Well, and that's the reason why I think I don't think they're going to do that for the whole saga. I think the reason why they did that for this movie is because...
It's a bridge.
New, because it's new, and it's a bridge, and we need some familiarity to bring us into this new land.
I can agree to that. I can agree to that. Are we Star Wars out yet?
Because we still not even close. I haven't had anybody to talk to about this for days.
Same here. Seriously, I've been around friends that have seen it, and also around other friends at the very same time who have not seen it. So a lot of our conversations went, oh my god, that thing.
Where you found out the guy was the person? Fuck me!
Yeah, I was like, that thing with the thing and the bridge and that thing?
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of the podcast, obviously we're not going to stop talking about Star Wars.
As soon as the podcast is done, we're just going to continue. But no, we can move along.
I want to make a prediction right here, right now, for the next movie. I do.
Are you talking about the Rogue One or the next Star Wars movie?
Star Wars 8.
Rogue One, though.
Yeah, Rogue
And then they're going to make a young Han Solo movie.
I like it.
I just don't want it to be young Indiana Jones, which...
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Less educational, though.
So, and this brings us back to something I said just before we started recording, because I had this theory. So I think Episode 8 is absolutely going to somewhat mirror Empire in that we're going to get training montages.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I think is awesome.
Around. No one's going to ever get to know.
Ryan Johnson, bonus points if you toss in a Survivor song for the montages. Doesn't even have to be Best Around or Eye of the Tiger.
But I think it'll be...
Hire them to make a new song.
And I agree that that's probably what a lot of Episode 8 will be. But I think it'll be a lot better because Luke was such a whiny bitch. And so, I can't do this. Where Rey is like, fucking teach me. Yeah. Although I think there'll be a lot of hesitation on Luke's part because of... The failed
how bad he fucked up
with Kylo Ren, yeah.
And I think she's going to have a hard time convincing him to train her.
But just that, what felt like 45 seconds of her holding out the lightsaber, right. Like basically crying.
But Luke's like that look in his face. He's like, I can't believe you fucking found me.
Wanna.
He's like, I can't believe you found me. And
also, that's my dad's lightsaber. What the fuck?
That's my lightsaber. That's my
also,
lightsaber.
Where the fuck do they get it?
Maz is magic. Maz is life.
It fell down the corridor. In Cloud City.
And think about it. There's a lot of lightsabers that were lost over the time, and I'm sure people have picked them up. And I'm sure maybe there's some story about how somebody found it, and she got a hold of it, because she's a traitor. She's a pirate.
She is a pirate.
But I
want to
know.
Oh,
I'm sure there is a story. I want to fucking know it.
Kind of like if you walk around the streets of why can't I think of the name of the goddamn planet?
Coruscant? Coruscant?
Coruscant. Mace Windu's lightsaber somewhere in the street.
It's true.
I mean, he was tossed out of a fucking window.
The gold one that says bad motherfucker.
Right? That's right.
That's fair. But anyways, brings me back to a theory.
Hold on. I just really want to quickly make the robot chicken reference where the one cleaner guy's like, he's always cleaning places and then a dead body. I gotta get a new job. And he's in fucking Cloud City and Artful. Gotta get a new job. And he's,
now he's on Death Star 2. Yeah. Here comes the Emperor. Yeah.
Hey, look, a hand! Did you see a hand fall down here?
No. I love Robot Chicken. I gotta go watch Robot Chicken.
Okay. So, my theory, as to how we get, because the rumor is right now is that the entire cast is coming back for episode 8, including Harrison Ford. So here's my theory on how he comes back.
Money.
Well, yes, money, but I'm sure they paid him a shit ton of cash to get him to come back.
Frozen Carbonite.
No, not Frozen Carbonite.
CGI.
No. The cave scene on Dagobah in Empire.
Mm. She already had her cave scene.
Not really. She sort of did. It was cave scene adjacent.
No.
She goes on a vision quest and talks with dead Han Solo. I think that's how he comes back.
But we already talked. He was never force sensitive. He can't talk. He can't communicate.
Yeah, but
it's not.
It's not about. It's
not about him being force sensitive.
The Dagobah cave wasn't about how force sensitive Vader was. It was about Luke and his vision and
It was all in his mind
that he ultimately had to.
Yeah,
he ultimately had to face his own father.
Yeah,
or his own fear.
But he's facing his own demons, and that's where he's facing there.
But I mean, what's Han Solo gonna say? Yeah, you have to kill my son. When she's like, I already know I have to kill your son because he's a douche.
Right? No, I think it's gonna be like an inspirational one for the Gipper speech. Mm. I think that's what it's gonna be. Her and Luke are running around the galaxy because I don't think they're going to train on that planet. I think they're going
to
run it out.
Maybe it might be a vision quest from Luke to force him to train her.
Also reasonable.
Like he doesn't want to, and then he goes on some vision quest and he remembers what Han, you know, did for him and that, you know, hey.
I think if the report is accurate and everyone is coming back, I think Harrison Ford comes back in a vision quest. I think that's the answer.
I mean, it goes back to what Yoda said to Luke about before he left Dagobah to go to Cloud City about if you believe in what they truly fight for, then their sacrifice is worth it. And so now Luke has to be, not swayed, but kind of he has to remember that if you believe in what they believe in, if you believe in their journey, then their sacrifice, and he has to remember that Luke or Han sacrificed himself to try to save his son, and that kind of maybe he sees that.
So, question, do we think that Kylo Ren is going to blow his load and save someone's life in the second one or the third one?
I think he's just going to get annihilated. I don't think he's going to get redeemed.
Not with the foreshadowing about the call from the light.
I think he's going to fight it the whole way. I just think he's going to fight it the whole way. And if anything, then it's going to be, again, my fear.
Him picking up Snoke and throwing him down a plasma tube.
Wait. No, I've got it. Have either of you seen Avatar The Last Airbender?
The movie or the cartoon series?
The cartoon series.
Don't ever acknowledge the movie.
No.
There's only one Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes,
I've seen the TV series.
I've seen like half of
So Prince Zuko?
Yeah.
Yes. Voiced by Rufio, yes.
Yeah. Prince Zuko in Avatar The Last Airbender has one of the best plot lines, overarching series plot lines for the show, in his path from bad guy in the first season to his redemption arc through season 2 and his eventual anti-hero role in season 3. What if that happens with Kylo Ren in episode 8?
But that would just be, it would just be a repeat of Jedi. It would just be Vader redeeming himself and killing Snoke, and I would not be happy with that. If he gets redeemed, I hope it's in a better way than that.
No, no, I think he switches sides at the end of episode 8. That's what I'm saying. I think he'll switch, or he'll just go off on his own and just renounce the dark and renounce the light and just be like, oh, that's how we get Greg Jedi.
I want it to be like it was in the Expanded the Dark Empire, like the Leia Luke fight. That's kind of how I want it to be. I want Rey to kick his ass and make him see the light.
Right. Or maybe he confronts Luke. Maybe there's a battle between
he's
him
not
and
ready for Luke.
I know he's not.
Yeah, but Mark Hamill's not ready for
and
Luke.
And by the
either.
Way, technically they have always been a great Jedi. Mace Windu was the archetype for Grey Jedi.
Sure.
And they just never use the term Grey Jedi a lot, but he was the archetype for Grey Jedi. Which is, if we're talking nerdism, my character from my Star Wars, I don't know if you noticed it, but I was wearing my black robe, he's kind of a Grey Jedi, because part of my story behind my Jedi character that I cosplay is that Mace Windu was one of his instructors and...
Nerd.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware.
All right. Okay, I think we should move on from Star Wars now, because I think we've done what?
So moving on, there's a couple great trailers that came out the past few weeks. First war one I think we're going to talk about is the new Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Captain America Civil War. Oh.
I'm excited. I am very... Every time I've seen it, I see new things, and I had to because I can't catch it all the time, but I YouTubed... people who point out all of the little things, like in the movie, that you don't necessarily catch, and pointing out Agent 13 is there, pointing out that Carter's daughter is there, stuff like that. I think it'll be great. And but the one thing I don't like is all the hatred, like, oh my god, this is just another Avengers movie. No, I think it's clearly a Captain America movie, because it's about him and Bucky. And yeah, there are other characters in it, you know, like obviously clearly Iron Man, but
yeah.
You have to have Iron Man in there if you're going to do the Civil War story.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm excited for it. I think it looked fucking awesome. Black Panther looked awesome.
Oh, fuck, I'm ready for some Black Panther.
Oh, God, it looked...
I love him. I love Chuck.
It looks so good. It looks
the costume's lovely. I would like to hear him talk first.
Well, I don't care, really. Voice. I mean, yeah, the voice could ruin it, but it's not like he's going to sound like Mike Tyson for Christ.
God, that would ruin it.
Oh, seriously, guys, I'm going to kick your ass. That high pitched voice just come out of that giant man? As Kevin says that.
How the fuck you till you love me?
Mispronouncing words and misusing words.
No, okay, so my thing on this is. I love the idea of this movie, and I think it's really good. And the sort of, I don't think there's a better word for this, but the love triangle between Steve and Bucky and Tony.
Yes.
I think that's the best way to describe it, really.
In the preview, they pointed out very well. Like, he's like, you have to understand that
he's my friend.
And then Tony just goes, so was I.
But was he?
Yes.
That is a heartbreaking moment in that trailer.
It is.
Like, oh.
Because here's the deal. Because there's been a lot of stuff on the internet about people saying that, oh, were they really friends? They weren't like buddies, like, hey, let's go get a beer or something like that. But Captain America is a soldier first and foremost. If you watch all the movies, Tony Stark never really... he made fun of Captain America, I think that's just Tony Stark being Tony Stark, but he never disrespected him. He always respected him. He always wanted him to be the leader of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
He's the leader. Tony's just kind of the guy that's there to do shit.
Yeah.
Especially in Avengers 2, at the beginning.
He has that straight up line. He's the leader. I just provide the money.
Right. And the way that he's following up, and he's like, good plan, Cap, you know, all right.
Yeah.
But I always heard that line with an air of regret and malice.
Really?
Yeah. It always seemed like it was coming from a place of being a dick for me. Maybe that's just because I read all of the Civil War and what Tony did to lead to... And spoiler if you haven't read the comics of the Civil War. What Tony did to lead to the untimely demise of Captain America, I've always been rather mad at him for. To the point of our friend Graham and I were... briefly boycotting the first Iron Man movie because it came out shortly after that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but I... I don't know. I think it'll be great. And I think they were friends in the term of, like, they were friends to each other. They were, you know, they were brothers at arms. And even if you don't get along with somebody, to put this in perspective, and I can't speak specifically from a military standpoint, but I've had good friends who've been in the military, and in my career, in my experience in the law enforcement side, that you go through things with some people, and even if you don't like them, they're still your friend. You still respect the shit out of them, especially if you've been through hard times.
Yeah.
Especially, and buddies that were in combat can say this specifically, that they didn't get along with people and everybody in their platoon, but when you're in combat, they're your fucking combat buddy, and it doesn't matter. You're still their friend. You will always have that. You will always share that moment. You don't have to get along, but we're still going to be friends. You know, and I think that's kind of the friendship that between Tony and Captain that they respect, especially Captain being a soldier and Tony kind of getting into it and going through what he went through, you know, not wanting to be a soldier, but being forced into this whole combative thing and the whole New York thing, and I think that's where they get their friendship.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's exactly where the friendship comes from, and I think the fact that we know that Tony is on one side of the Registration Act, and of course Cap is going to be on the other, I think that does add a great nuance to the movie. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I want Bucky in this movie.
I think he has to be, because it's Captain America.
Well, it's just the story arc they were using to start the Civil War. In the comics, it was completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know.
It was some young buck new team.
Yeah, no,
we were trying to fight some bad guys, and one of the younger ones who had a really immensely powerful power, for mutant, lack of redundancy, yeah, kind of went atomic and blew up a village. And
yeah.
And people did
blew up a little town in Connecticut, and
people
killed,
did not appreciate that.
Well, I think that's
mostly because he blew up right next to an elementary school.
Yep.
Well, I think part of that is the town that they destroyed in
Ukraine,
Age of Ultron,
yeah, Age of Ultron,
Sokovia.
So I think they kind of are mirroring that whole Sokovia.
Yeah, and I think that will come into play,
right.
All right, let's actually talk about a couple other things that we know about Civil War already. We know because of Sony and Marvel's deal that Spider-Man will be in this forever, for however long. I just want to talk about this real quick. Were you guys disappointed that there was no, at least the mask of Spider-Man in the trailer?
No, I think they're good to keep it under wraps for now.
Right, and they've made it very clear that Spider-Man's not a significant role in this movie, that he's in there for a short period of time, and then he's out. And it's kind of like reintroducing him so that they can make their Spider-Man movie, which I'm sure will have more of this whole interaction that they may or may not, that they will have in Civil War. But, you know, what I've read on the internet, what I've kind of seen is that a lot of people are all angry about it, and like, but they've been very specific that Spider-Man's not a huge character, so why would you want to show, kind of, it would be like showing Maz real quickly in the previews. It's like, you don't need to. You just kind of save that moment.
I think the reason why people are annoyed is because Spider-Man was such a central point of the Civil War.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's my issue, is that how are they going to pull that off? Because one of the big, spoiler, if you haven't read the comics, but go read them, they're amazing.
They're really well written.
It's honestly my favorite comic book storyline of all time. But in the comics, Spider-Man starts out on the side of pro-registration, which in the comics is Tony's side. Presumably that's the side he's going to be on again, but
to the point of the end of issue one, he takes off his mask on live television and says, I've been Peter Parker since I was 15 years old, and J. Jonah Jameson basically has a heart attack.
Yeah.
And awesome.
and that is, and the thing about that is that Spider-Man's secret identity is so closely guarded in the comic universe. Like, Captain America was known as Steve Rogers. You find out that Iron Man is Tony Stark like 4 or 5 times in the fucking comics.
Yeah, nobody cares who Thor is.
Nobody cares who Thor is because he's a fucking god. Everyone knows Bruce Banner is the Hulk. No one ever knew who Spider-Man was. And it's such a central part of the storyline, because then now he's come out as Peter Parker, and he becomes disillusioned and switches to Cap's side. Like, he's the turning point of Civil War in the comics.
Like, these Marvel movies seem to be a little more, totally brain farting on the world, a little more cavalier about their identities. They don't seem to care as much. Even Natasha Romanoff gets outed at the end of Ultron.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
But and that's the thing. Yes, it is a little more cavalier, but Spider-Man in the comics, in the movies even, his identity has been such a closely guarded secret because he has family. He has loved ones at home that if his villains were to find out his secret identity, it's a bad day for his family. Like, they're gonna straight up go find them and murk them right then and there. Because they want to make Spider-Man's life a living hell.
Still to this day, Aunt May clocking Dr. Octopus in the face with an umbrella is one of my favorite scenes in any comic book movie ever.
Yeah. Yes. And it's great. And conversely, Aunt May's death in the comics is the worst choice that they had ever made in the comics, in my opinion.
Without a doubt.
Spoiler, it's at the end of Civil War, now that everyone's found out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, somebody goes and does exactly what he was always worried about, and, you know, snipes Aunt May out of the fucking sky. What I'm getting to is that Spider-Man was such an integral part of the comics that how do you bring him into this movie and not make him feel like a throwaway, worthless fucking character?
That is my biggest worry, my friend.
Yeah, and that is my worry for Spider-Man in this. I'll admit my bias. Spider-Man has been my favorite comic book character since I was 8.
He is definitely probably my favorite Marvel character.
Yeah, favorite comic book character.
Just Marvel. I know. Still got to give it to the Bat.
You got to take
Batman. Tattooed on my body for crying out loud.
Right. And that's fine. I just, you know. Yeah. Spider-Man has been my hero since I was 8, and I love him dearly. I own the 30th anniversary foil cover comic of Spider-Man. Right?
Nice.
I'm that guy.
speaking of, and this will kind of project us into the next one. My growing up, I had a lot of, you know, comic book heroes. Superman being one of my obviously first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Watching all the crappy 80s Superman movies, which I fucking loved. Anyways, I don't care if people hated Christopher Reeves or hated the
One and Two are Quest still, for one Peace. One and two are still solid.
They're still good movies. But I'm saying I watched them all and I grew up on them. And
yeah.
Superman was always, and I used to watch Justice League as a kid, and Superman was always my hero.
But yeah, and two are awesome. It's the Quest for Peace that ruins the whole fucking thing for everybody.
Well, of course. But then another one of my superhero fans, if you want to call them superheroes, would be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One, because by the time that show came around, I was already involved in martial arts. So I'm like, sweet, a show with martial arts people, and they're turtles. And the cartoon was, I don't know, I fucking love the cartoon. To this day, I love the cartoon.
I went back and watched a couple episodes, and I'm like, I don't even care. This is awesome.
It is awesome. You know, Thundercats are great, but I try to watch them now, and I'm like, eh.
I understand what they did, and I think it was the 25th anniversary
reboot
that they did. It was back in the 2008 kind of series that they did.
Thundercats?
Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles.
There was an anniversary special where they brought in both the old 90s Turtles and the comic book versions of the Turtles.
And they brought them into the 2000s.
Yeah, and everybody hated series. The 90s Turtles because they said it was like working with four Michelangelos, and I laughed my tits off.
Right. But that brings me to my new, and I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, the live-action ones. I thought they were great.
Even the third one. I don't care what people say.
Shitty third one, yes. I
even love that one.
It's only because they brought back Corey Feldman.
Exactly.
Because he was in rehab during the second one.
Yeah, the second one has one redeeming quality, and that's it. Go, ninja! Go, ninja! Go! Go, ninja! Go, ninja! Go!
I like that little squirrely kid.
the pizza delivery guy who's in like every single Kino. Kung Fu.
He was in Surf Ninjas.
He was in so many martial art movies and TV shows.
I want to see that movie again so badly. God, I can't find it anywhere.
Trying to get back to my point.
Very young Rob Schneider. I want you to keep just one eye on my friends. Just one eye. Okay, an eye patch, don't worry about
it. So, the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I know a lot of people didn't like the first movie. I don't think they were like anything great, but I thought they were good action movies. I thought it was comical.
I enjoyed it for what I let go. I just let go and I watched it and I enjoyed it for what it was.
Exactly. I didn't expect anything great from it.
I didn't,
but I enjoyed it.
But I gotta say, it really looks like the second one they're making for people our age. They're really making it for the...
Thank God for that.
For the adults who... The turtles still look ridiculous with their goofy faces, but they're bringing in
Casey... Way too much shit on their goddamn shells.
They're bringing in Casey Jones, played by Stephen Amell from Green Arrow.
Yes.
They're bringing in Bebop and Rocksteady. They're bringing in Bebop and Rocksteady who drive a tank through water because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
They are even bringing a thing that was never in the show or the comics or anything.
It was a toy.
It was simply a toy. And we talked about this like a week ago. And that was the van that fired discs. There were pizzas and there were also discs that were sewer grates. And this one seems to fire the sewer grates because pizzas would be insanity.
Right. They wouldn't be shooting pizzas because they'd be wasting food.
They'd be wasting pizzas. They're like, oh my god, I have that toy. I'm just waiting for the turtle blimp. Please God, turtle blimp.
I'm not gonna lie, we talked about this before we started recording. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought back Krang in this movie, because there's space aliens. There's space aliens at the beginning, something they don't really know who the bad guy is. There's clearly some guy that wants to be Shredder.
They're totally bringing in the...
And I think they might bring in Krang, and I'd kind of be okay with it, especially if he's getting some dopey-looking suit, the body that he in the brains is in the gut. The
goofy android-looking guy. Down syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'm looking something up right now, so keep talking, but I want to talk... more about Teenage Mutant.
I think it'll be... I'm going to go in with kind of the blank. It's going to be what it is.
I'm not going to go in expecting much, but I'm going to go in expecting to have fun, I will.
It's kind of like when I saw the first Transformers movie. It's like, all I wanted to see was Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and
I got it. I wanted hot chicks and robots that turn into cars, and I got hot chicks and robots that turn into cars.
And crappy Shia LaBeouf, but I didn't care because the Rock'em Sock'em Robots was all I cared about.
Ugh,
and that's all I wanted to see.
And it was awesome.
It was. It really was. For that, for what it's worth, that's what it was.
We're not expecting Shakespeare.
No.
And you shouldn't.
And that's the thing, is I find that people who bitch about this shit, they have too many expectations, and if you just give that up and just go, you know what, it's gonna be a thing.
You do the Ebert and you go and you judge the movie. This is why he will be the only critic that I really listen to, because of the fact that when he did watch a movie, he's passed. He would give it its due credit and be like, this is what it is. I didn't have expectations, you know, for what it is. It's what it is.
Okay, so I had to look at the cast list for TMNT2 Out of the Shadows, which is the name of the...
Please tell me there's somebody that's playing Krang.
There is no listing for Krang yet. Here is what is listed, and we all watched the trailer before we started recording. And we all sort of looked at one character, Baxter Stockman, and went, Is that
Madea?
Yeah. Is that Madea? And the answer is yes. Tyler Perry.
I knew it was Madea.
Tyler Perry.
Admiral Madea from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if Tyler Perry had been Madea for that part, it would have been insanely better. I would have, this is all I needed. I never know I needed this, but this is what I needed.
Right. But so, yeah, Tyler Perry is Baxter Stockman in the new film. But here's, I was just looking through the cast.
I want them to bring back Yosaki Yojimbo. He was my favorite.
Oh, Yosaki Yojimbo. Mm. There was a very minor reference in the first one to him where they talked about how they were going to use rabbits.
Right.
So here is...
I laughed my tits off when they said that.
Mm-hmm. Here is who will be currently who they know to be making cameos. Alessandra, I don't give a fuck about your name. Five basketball players and Judith Hogue. Judith Hogue, who played the first April O'Neil in the 1990 movie.
Awesome.
The original April O'Neil?
The original.
The ugly one?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But did you see
her? The last movie I saw her in was
Alessandra Ambrosio.
Oh my god. She is made out of. She was crafted by the gods. She has an eye color that doesn't exist in nature. She has a hip to waist to boob ratio that shouldn't exist on planet Earth. She is goddamn beautiful.
I was going to say the last.
Especially in True Detective.
I was going to say the last time I saw the original.
So she gets naked in True Detective.
She sure does.
I was going to say the last time that I saw the original April O'Neil in any movie was the movie Bad Words. And if you haven't seen that movie and you love Jason Bateman, see the fucking movie Bad Words. It is fucking hilarious. But really quickly, I was going to just real quickly make a back reference to Star Wars when you mentioned basketball players. I give full props to the producers, whoever, but... So there's obviously Peter Mayhew is very old, and every time you see him, he's walking around with a cane. And they cast him, and they made the big thing that he was Chewbacca. Clearly in the movie, not not I got distracted by boobs and not Kevin's. But clearly Chewbacca was very animated in the entire movie, and it was played by another
squeeze.
A basketball player, and like he was like the Chewbacca double, as it were. And I give him full credit for like letting Peter Mayhew take the full, you know, top cast, top billing, and him kind of just taking a second seat that nobody really knew about until you actually saw the previews or you saw the end part. And I thought that was great.
And the same thing with the guy who had originally done the voiceover for Rey's little vision quest.
Obi-Wan from the animated series. James Arnold Taylor.
Yes.
I'm a nerd.
They ended up replacing him with Ewan McGregor because he became available at the last minute. And he even went on Twitter and said, you know, somebody's going to take it from me. I'm glad it was him. It should be him.
And that is something we didn't mention in the Star Wars segment.
We were going to, and we got sidetracked
because that's what we do. And we'll mention it real quick. There are a couple... Shut up. And really quickly, there were a couple really great cameos in that. It was like you said, Ian McGregor, his voice shows up in Rey's fever dream thing when she touches the lightsaber.
Now I got a fever dream if she would touch my lightsaber.
Right?
You're welcome for the setup.
Penis references, guys.
Innuendo.
Innuendo.
Yep.
So right there with the innuendo.
Sorry. But also, the rumor is that Daniel Craig played a stormtrooper in...
Specifically the one that released Rey from...
Yeah, specifically the one that Rey Jedi mind tricks.
It did kind of sound like
it. Yeah, thank you. I thought
it was confirmed by Daniel Craig, and then it was supposedly confirmed by J.J. Abrams that, yep, that was Daniel Craig. And the reasoning behind it was that... He happened to be shooting his new Bond movie.
Yeah, he was shooting Bond right next door.
Right, and then they came over and was like, he's just kind of checking things out, and he's kind of like, that'd be kind of cool if I could be in it. They're like, okay, here, put on a fucking stormtrooper thing, and we'll throw you in the movie.
I love it.
And I could see him doing that. It just distracts from, like, who cares? Like,
And that's fine. And another thing that I think we should talk about real quick was... Admiral Akbar showed back up.
Oh, right.
I knew he was going to.
Yeah. That wasn't under any sort of lock and key, but thank God they got the actual voice, the guy who voiced him, and the actor who played the puppet. Both are in the film. Right. One is the one is the guy.
Same with the guy that played
Nim Nub.
No, I don't think that was actually Nim Nub. Yes.
Yeah, that was Nim Nub.
Okay, their race lasts a while then.
Yeah,
because I always meant to look.
He looked a little older. And I actually appreciate the fact that they paid.
He's still spry enough to pilot an X-wing. Good for him,
right?
He wasn't piloting an X-wing before he was co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon with Lando.
The fact that he's still spry enough to pilot an X-wing, a very agile vehicle,
right? And I think they did a good job of aging both Akbar and Nenwub. I think they
Sad to say this, but the only one that I don't think they aged enough and really should have, Chewie.
What's he going to do? Wookiees last a long time.
Man. What's he going to do? Get gray hair?
Yeah.
That
would have been great.
Maybe he dyes his hair.
Just a little right here.
Yeah, just a little in the chest.
Like my cat.
Like just a little, like a nice little distinguished gray spot.
Salt and pepper right here at the temples. Salt and pepper
right at the temple. Yeah, that would have been great. I would have liked that.
So going back... We're, again, Tarantino-ing this and Kevin Smith-ing the shit out of these. Going back to previews, obviously X-Men Apocalypse dropped.
Yeah.
Sansa Stark is Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Hottie McHot Pants is Storm.
Yep.
What's-her-face McCallahan as Jubilee. Jubilee looks super cute. We didn't really get to see much of Psylocke.
Nope.
No, that's true. You get a little bit.
You get like a little hint.
Hair. You get a split second.
But I want to know what they're doing with Angel, because Angel was already in the X-Men movies that shall not be named.
He was in the third one.
Played by what's his name?
From Punisher?
Punisher, and he was also in Lone Survivor.
And 6 Feet Under?
Yes, he's
the boyfriend. Yeah. Anyway. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
There's an HBO show that nobody talks about anymore.
Right? that show is for good reason. 6 feet under. So he was already in there. So I want to know who this handsome young buck.
Do you think he might be one of the Apocalypse? Going back to that storyline that Archangel joined Apocalypse and being one of the Four Horsemen.
Well, yeah, but the problem is this takes place years before that movie, and he was only in his like late teens, early 20s in The Last Stand.
No, that's true.
And so he would have been but a chitlin in this during this.
But as we've seen, before, though, that they don't care about ages necessarily. That they'll bend the age line a bit, and that's why I'm saying
I know. But they've established the fact that characters who are much older in the old movies are now much younger in this one, even though Scott was quite a bit younger than Jean Grey, and now they're roughly the same age, and that annoys me. But
you know what? I did think. Obviously, they got Jennifer Lawrence obviously back as
somehow.
Yeah, I think I know how they got her back, because in every scene you see her in, she's not in the goddamn blue makeup.
Never mystiqued.
I know, and that's why I think they got her back. She probably said, "If I'm in that movie, I don't want to wear that blue shit, or if I do, it's got to be very minimal." Because I just think she was like, "I'm not wearing that blue shit anymore.
I'm Jennifer Lawrence now."
Exactly.
I'm J-Law now.
J-Law on fuck that blue shit.
Katniss
kind of like Jordan LaForge in the Star Trek. I know you don't like talking about it, but in Next Gen, to get him back into the movies, he's like, "I'm not wearing that fucking visor anymore." Like,
I'm okay with it.
Why would they make him wear this?
Because it's Jordan LaForge, and he's got to.
Yeah. I think
that's how they get her.
It's got to be. I imagine Jennifer Lawrence walked into a
and she has every right to make that demand because she now walked she right is into Jennifer
their,
Lawrence.
She walked right into their office and they said, "Okay, Jennifer Lawrence, we're gonna toss you in the movie. You're gonna be playing Mystique again. We're gonna toss you in that blue makeup." Oh, what was? Oh, I'm sorry. What? What? Oh, Oscar says that's not a good idea.
But
yeah, this one, the one I won for best actress.
The one thing I can respect about Jennifer Lawrence is that she's not, you know, like we talked about in the last one about, like, Anthony Daniels being a fucking prima donna, that she's still fucking grounded in earth, and she still is, you know, from what I've seen of her in public, nobody's ever said anything bad about her, that she's cool. Like, I saw an interview with her, and she was like, "Why is all these people screaming?" And she goes, "Oh, it's just Leonardo DiCaprio. Hold on." And she, like, screams, and she goes, "Yeah, I was once a teenager, too." That's what makes me love her so much.
That's what they're saying about Daisy Ridley. They're very much predicting she's going to be the next Jennifer Lawrence, because she is quirky and she is very endearing to everyone she talks to, and she cusses like a goddamn sailor.
So we have J-Law and D-Riddles.
The Daisy Train.
I'll make a Daisy Train on it.
Right?
Thank you.
Bang.
All right, gentlemen. Time to cross dicks. We're wishing for the Fappening Four with Daisy Ridley.
She already was naked in a couple movies. At least topless. I say, have you not seen this, really?
Shut up! Magic really? Is happening!
Oh my god, they apparently have not seen this on the interwebs, that they didn't know that she was already, like, topless in a movie.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, boobs.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Which one did you find?
No, I'm slower than he is.
No, Kevin, which one did you find?
The thing where she's on the table.
Yeah, so it's her boobs.
Oh, look at that, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Oh, wow.
I don't think that's her. If you're talking about the Bush one.
I don't think that's her either. Could be. All right.
But if you go to the things under it, that is clearly not her.
All right.
Anyway, where was I?
Boobs.
Otherwise, Apocalypse. So he is, I don't know if they redesigned it after the internet bitched about it, but he looks much less like Ivan Ooze from what I've seen.
Yeah.
So I could have, either that was just an awkward shot, or they redesigned it or something, but no, he looks much less Ivan Uzi. He has a great voice for Apocalypse.
Yes.
I love it. I am all about Mohawk Storm. Anyone who knows Kevin knows that Kevin's eternal comic book crush is Storm.
Yeah. Side note, I met a really awesome, when I was in Vegas for Halloween, one of the servers there was dressed as Storm. Very well done. Very well done. Yeah, she had the eyes in, she had the gray hair, she had the tight suit on. She was very attractive.
Paint me a word picture.
I think I just did, Kevin.
What? Yeah. But
unfortunately, I couldn't get a really good picture of her because I maybe kind of might have been drunk and was.
Tell me more. Eyes, hair, boobs. Start with boobs.
They were nice. She was very friendly, too. Anyways.
Was she friendly with her boots?
I am still undecided as to Sansa Stark as Jean Grey.
Yeah, jury's out to vote.
I think, did we talk about this like a week ago when we all hung out? Because, I think I mentioned that the accent.
We did, because we talked about how Karen Gillan in Oculus.
Yes.
The first line out of her mouth sounds like it's her old Scottish accent, but we also talked about how, you know, the psychological
thing. We expect to hear Sansa's...
Expectation gives you that. We expect to hear
her normal British accent, and so that's what we hear at first, and then it changes into American. Right. And... Well, that's true. Every time I've watched it since, I still hear it. I've heard it less and less
the more I've watched it, just because I'm used to hearing...
I also, every time I watch it, I hear James McAvoy's accent less and less. But that might be because I find him bland and dull.
Oh, but he looks perfect bald.
He does look perfect bald.
He looks so much like Xavier, it made me hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks great. That said, bland. He is Blandy McBlanderton, and I'm not a huge fan of him as Xavier. The great parts about Days of Future Past are any scene in which James McAvoy isn't in.
You really hate him, bro.
Yeah. No. I love Days of Future Past. The overarching story was amazing. Have you seen the rogue cut? I don't like James McAvoy. The rogue cut?
Yes. Where she is a much...
Oh, no, I haven't.
I haven't either. Mm. I'd really like to.
Huh.
Rogue cut?
Yeah.
There's a deleted scene where...
There's another copy of the movie where she is a much more... She's in it a lot more.
Apparently. Yeah, instead of the blink-and-you-miss-it cameo at the end of the film.
Which is why I think she got such high billing in the credits.
Yeah.
Because originally she was in it more.
Somebody mentioned that about the... One of the things I was watching on the interrupt, pointing out the Easter eggs of preview movies. They pointed that out during the Civil War trailer that, you know, when they do the Marvel flip-through thing, that apparently there's this shot of Miss Marvel in the thing, like, doing a punch. And I don't know if they just use the same one or if they use Marvel flips of the movie or the comic book.
They use Marvel flips of whatever...
The movies pertaining
whatever
to
whatever comic it is. So Avengers, they use Avenger.
When they brought that up with Civil War, was that they go, "Are we going to see Ms. Marvel in Civil War because she's in the flippy flip thing?"
I would very much enjoy if Ms. Marvel was the after credit.
Ah. Me too.
That would be pretty much perfect.
Yep. But they never mentioned that they're making a Ms. Marvel movie.
Yes, they have. It's due out in 2017.
Oh, so then maybe
Captain Marvel.
She's the very first female led movie. Mm-hmm. Now that we have Jessica Jones, who we have now proven that a female led comic book.
I felt that they kind of did that with Star Wars, but that's kind of why they gave Rey the thing, was that they were kind of saying, "We own Marvel, I know people are bitching, so now we're going to give that female powerful lead."
They're understanding that not only do we want it, it needs to happen. We like it a lot.
Right. Oh, God, because
Jessica Jones was goddamn fantastic.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, we haven't recorded since Jessica Jones came out. You haven't watched it yet?
I have not watched it.
Oh, you simply must.
Dude, there's 20 million things I got to watch.
I know, but really make time for this one.
Make time for this one. It's good.
I still have to finish Daredevil.
Finish Daredevil and then watch Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
But what I really like about Jessica Jones is actually something that has almost nothing to do with Jessica Jones, and that's how they explain the powers when she and Luke Cage are chit-chatting at the little cafe.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, experiment, and he goes, accident, or vice versa, whichever it was.
Yeah.
And
that's all they do for the origin, how they got their powers. And it's like, yes, do that in Spider-Man. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to admit, only because I referenced you guys in the comics. I've read comics. I've been out of reading comics for a long time. I'm sorry. Most of the stuff that I get is reading off the internet or whatnot, or researching my own stuff. Is Jessica Jones a previous... comic book.
She is one of the oldest female superheroes in Marvel.
Yeah.
She is Jewel, one of the original Avengers.
Okay.
And the storyline
is based off of a newer comic book called Alias.
Or AKA Jessica Jones.
Alias, the same Alias that was on...
Not Cindy Bristow Alias.
I'm like, not
Jennifer Garner Alias.
No, it's...
Thank God.
I liked that show. Fuck you guys.
Jennifer Garner, because she was... Electra.
Oh, but I think it's funny that in that show, that was J.J. Abrams, you know,
his big breakout thing.
I cannot remember the actor's name, but he was Kevin Weissman. I want to say. He was the stepfather of Kurt. He's J.J. Abrams'
go-to guy.
He was in Heroes as one of the very main characters.
The cop that had the superpowers.
Yep, the cop that had the telepathy.
Oh, Greg Grunberg.
Yes, thank you.
He was not in Star Trek, though.
He was in Star Trek. He was Kirk's stepfather. He was the voice the phone.
Yep.
Oh, so he was a voice, but he wasn't, like...
He wasn't in it, but he's basically, he's buddies with you. And so it cracked me up that, and I bet he just had an erection the entire time he got to be an X-Wing pilot.
And I think, and that was the funny part when, like, in the movie, when we were in the theater, like, when they show him standing there, everyone's like... Like, everybody, like, clapped. I was like,
I like that guy. I think he's... I wish he was in more stuff. I like him.
I like him, too. I don't care if he's ever in anything else.
Maybe it's just
else.
Because it's so hard to find, you know... The only guys who are kind of good looking but still on the chubby side who, you know, get to, you know, who win and aren't Paul fucking the fuck Blart.
Right. Well, and
where
so
their fatness
I,
isn't like a comedic thing.
Right. And I.
So what you're saying is there aren't enough roles for you in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm
really tired of the only roles for fat guys
are comic
roles. Well, no, you're right.
I'm with you there. I'm a fat guy too.
You're right.
And one of the but
I can make it.
Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
Good for him.
Oh yeah. No, actually, that's a good example of a fat guy who
he gets that felony ass.
What was I going to say? The only thing that I knew him from was briefly from Heroes because I didn't watch all of Heroes because I just I couldn't.
The first two seasons
are amazing.
Well, the first two, and that's where I didn't follow it enough, but I saw a lot of the first two, and then I kind of picked up after that. I'm like, ugh, you know.
It is, that show is one of the biggest casualties of the 2007-2008 writer's strike.
And the reason why I did watch it was mainly because of him, because I'm like, oh, look, a chubby guy is a lead, and I'm kind of a chubby guy, and I gotta watch this now. But the other reference I know him from is actually from a show called Third Watch. He played a young Sully when one of the main characters is an old-time cop, and he does this and that, but he's got some flashbacks from one of his younger days, and he is the younger version of the actor, who actually is a really good stunt driver, who was, like, in Ronin and did a lot of his own stunt driving in that movie, and so in Third Watch, when he was driving the squad car, it was actually him, because he actually is a stunt driver. So, anyways.
That's fair.
Back to...
I think we've covered pretty much all of the trailer-y things.
Oh, we did. And I think just real briefly, just talking about this, and we've been talking about our childhood a lot, I think that brings up our last kind of topic, which was, you know, we all grew up nerds, and before it was cool, we were nerds, and now all of a sudden it kind of is grown to be this big... It's cool to be a nerd and this and that, and you don't get as much
there's
ridicule for being a nerd. And kind of what do we feel was a turning point in...
Well, okay, before... I have a statement there, which I think there's a bit of reverse backlash now in the nerd community of... We've seen it over the past few years of nerds being a little defensive and gatekeepy about being nerds because we grew up with the stigma. And all of a sudden, all of these new... people are coming in and like, oh, hey, we like Star Wars and X-Men too. And then like those of us that grew up with the playground beatings, the bullying, the teasing, the kids making fun of us for liking Star Trek. We're standing here and going, no, this is our cool little thing. Stay out. And I think,
I feel it's kind of becoming the hipster thing.
Maybe a little, but, and honestly, I'm not trying to do this every episode, and I'm sorry. That's kind of the point of my other show, Late to the Party, in that we're trying to introduce someone to, and a larger audience to being nerdy and being geeky without that gatekeeping aspect.
Right, and that was something I've always tried to do, is I've always... People are like, oh, you're such a nerd. I'm like, you should try it sometime. It's goddamn blissful.
It is.
You have no idea how joyous it is getting excited over something stupid like a video game. It's awesome.
Right.
And that's the thing.
And I've always tried to, you know, get people who are a little too cool for school to try out being a nerd. It's awesome. Like, ex-girlfriends and
whatever. Yeah. And admittedly, that I was definitely one of the gatekeeper nerds in, like, right out of high school. Because I was just like... To be fair, I'm kind of not your typical looking nerd. I'm skinny and
you're not your typical look.
I think you're
the stereotype of.
I think you absolutely are. If I saw you in public, I'd be like, "Oh, that guy's definitely seen Star Wars at least three times by now." Let's go talk about Star Wars. person.
Yeah, but you know me, but like
I can tell you definitely, just judging by your Betty Page shirt, that I would be able to talk to you about cool stuff.
Right. No, that's true. I'm just saying.
And the Klingon button on your hat.
Come on.
Are you going to see that from 500 feet away, though?
Yes. Yes. Hawkeye. I'm 80% deaf and everything.
I'm a trained observer, yes. A lot of it is due to, you know, the explosion, I guess, of mass media, I think, definitely has one. Because, you know, before it was like you had to find the pocketful of nerds
yeah.
in your school. But then there was like, and I hate to say this even amongst the nerd community, but like, there's like your fucking nerdy people. Then there's like your cooler nerds, if you can say that. Like that you're nerdy, but you're not so like, yeah, I like science.
No, well, you're exactly correct.
You're right. I don't think you're voicing it the way you want.
No, I'm probably not.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. You don't feel like you've got it right, but it's the kids who just portrayed the stereotype to the hilt.
Right.
And made the rest of us who didn't portray that stereotype just feel uncomfortable about being right. labeled a nerd.
And I think part of that was, you know, the explosion of, you know, mass media like MySpace.
Or event, the explosion of Alderaan, I don't know why.
The explosion, you know,
a million voices,
the Facebook,
cried
because
out
now you're connected
silenced.
To you're connected to other nerds around, you're connected to bigger groups, you can find people with common interests a lot easier. You can find people who will support your nerd habit even when other people, like, you know, bullying still happens. You can find people who will not bully you and will stick up for you. You know, the nerd community that we all grew up in is getting older, and we're, you know, now we're adults. We're like, hey, leave these fuckers alone.
Yeah, and I think especially our generation of nerds.
Absolutely.
Is really integral to the process of making being a nerd cool and making the lifestyle
more acceptable.
Make it more acceptable. The subculture more acceptable and more welcoming and more pleasant to be in.
Right. And I think I think we talked about this in the last podcast, but like movies like Iron Man and the huge how it got so popular, and X-Men, and just movies like that really kind of people go, oh my God,
especially
this is fucking
cool.
Right
before Iron Man came out, you would 2% of the population could really tell you who Iron Man is.
Right.
And like that Black Sabbath song or what?
Right.
And then integrating things like that, like Black Sabbath and, you know, music like that. And I've been to a part, you know, Bill Gates, why can't I think of his name from Apple?
Steve Jobs.
Just being like, hey, here's the deal. You can make fun of nerds all you want to, but they're going to be your boss one day, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You might want to be a little bit nicer to them. Why are you giving me the oral stimulation?
Again, visual jokes that work great on an audio podcast.
I was just trying to throw him off.
Hi, we work at the Ren Fest. Not much really throw... Well, okay, boobs throw me off sometimes, but...
Boobs?
Boobs is, I think, the only thing that has distracted me during shows at the Ren Fest. But just saying that, things like that and, like, the explosion
oh,
and all of that.
Speaking of.
Boobs. I think
my phone is still on Daisy Ridley
shows. And then things like, you know, very attractive ladies and cosplay and that becoming a huge thing. You know, because before it was like, oh, you're a big freaking nerd if you went to a Star Trek convention. I remember getting ridiculed for going to Star Trek conventions. Like, to the point where, like, I wouldn't even tell some of my friends that I was going to Star Trek conventions. And my dad was nice enough to take me. And, you know, so it was like, but now that, like, with the huge explosion of all that subculture, as we talked about, and connecting on the internet and seeing these very attractive women being huge fucking nerds and even playing video games, and I think just making that part of the, oh, there are very, you know, decent people that, and you know.
And yeah. In today's day and age, it truly is hip to be square.
Yeah.
And one a great example, I had mentioned ex-girlfriends, a girl named Anna that I dated, and she was completely the opposite of a nerd. She was very much a glamour kind of girl, interested in things revolving around shoes, clothing, and makeup.
Right.
Names have been changed.
No, this is really, her name was Anna. This is.
No, I know. I just wanted to make that joke because I wanted you to say that you didn't change your name.
Okay. No.
Yeah. She'll listen to this podcast. Because
at first people thought I was going to talk about Karina, but I'm not. So, Anna.
Wow, let's just throw all the names of your exes out
there. God, that list would be for, oh, we'd be here for hours.
Right. So, anyways, Erica.
Sorry, I'm just.
Sorry, any of you, if you're listening to this.
I'm not.
So anyway, Anna, she, I'm like, just watch Star Wars. You're going to like it, I promise. She's like, fine. And we watched them in the correct order. We did 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3.
Well, really quick, do you think it'd be better to watch it 4, 5, watch 1, 2, 3, and then 6?
No, I don't think at this point
you don't like the machete order?
The machete order or flashback order would have been good. I think.
Okay. Anyways.
All right, anyway, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And she, watching these movies with her, it felt like I was watching them for the first time myself. She was gasping at all the right parts, and making noise at the right parts, and cheering at the right parts, and fell in love with R2-D2. And then we went back and watched the prequels, and like at the end of Return of the Jedi, I remember she's like, I want an Ewok, and I want it now. Give me an Ewok. And by the end of the
time... carnivorous little bears.
By the time we had finished the sixth movie, she's like, I want Star Wars stuff. What is wrong with me? She wanted swag at the end, by the time we were finished watching that. And that's the thing, is if you just kind of let yourself... If you're not a nerd and you kind of let yourself fall into it, you're going to find out that it's... This shit is popular for a reason.
Right, and, yeah. I think I've been very, you know, in speaking
And it was
of,
wonderful watching it with her. I loved every second. Like, when she found out Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father, she was like, shut the fuck up! She had no idea, and it was amazing.
Spoiler alert, by the way, in case you haven't seen Empire Strikes Back.
It was beautiful, and I don't talk anymore, but I hope to God she went and saw Star Wars Episode 7 in theaters, you know, this weekend, and...
Pause. You just... shouted out spoiler alert about Empire Strikes Back when at the front end of our episode. I'm just saying, at the front end of our episode.
I think he was trying to be sarcastic about it.
I was.
I'm sorry.
I think, and speaking of girlfriends, I've been very fortunate, I feel, in the girls that I've dated that a lot of them have been nerdy right along with me.
Yeah, for the most part, same here, but
But there were a couple, like you were saying, there were a couple that weren't like totally into it. But they appreciated the fact that I was and supported me and bought me nerdy things, and that was fine. And they'd always be like, oh, you're such a nerd. And be like, yeah, well, fucking try it out sometime. Like you said, you watch an episode or you watch Star Wars with them, and they're like, oh, my God, this is good stuff, good story. Yeah. Especially because – and I feel that I've also been lucky that all the girls that I've dated have been above average intelligence. And I feel that helps, that they better can understand – even if it's a bad, like, you don't necessarily like the way that George Lucas directed the fucking movie, you can still appreciate the storyline, you can appreciate the characters, you can appreciate that it is, in all sense and purposes, George Lucas combines so many versions and so many different types of story archetypes, and he combined them all into one movie and made this epic thing, and the fact that they can appreciate that and understand that, I think it made me more attracted to them because of that.
Yeah, and I think and lucky you for having above average intelligence girlfriends. Not all of us are so lucky. This is for you too.
Just time out. No. These are girls that I qualify as my girlfriends. I'm not saying I haven't like quote unquote dated girls that weren't really my girlfriends who were.
But I'd say anybody I called a girlfriend for the most part has been very above average intelligence.
I have one exception, but otherwise, yeah, for the most part.
Are you talking about you or are you talking about me?
No, for me.
Okay.
For you, yes, I also have one exception, but I'm not going to say it on the air. That's not fair.
Ignorance, as I said to somebody else, ignorance is not a testament of intelligence.
Anyways.
After that. A debacle.
Edit. my girlfriend currently...
BJ.
BJ, yes.
Him. Yeah, we all know.
God damn it.
Don't set yourself up for it if you don't want us to say it.
I didn't. Kevin like that. Did it for you.
And we helped each other out. That's how we roll.
You helped him out with the BJ?
Maybe.
Good for you.
So what?
That's a friend.
It's called a bro job. It's helping a friend.
I didn't swallow. Didn't make it gay, so shut up.
God damn it. Anyways... So she had never seen Doctor Who before.
I'm just kidding. Never seen Doctor Who.
She had never seen Doctor Who before, and we just started watching it a few months ago. And she got to the end of those who haven't seen Tenants and Sad Day for You, but she got to you should. Right. But she got to the end of David Tennant's run as the Doctor, and I wasn't watching it with her at the time. But I had asked her about it later, and she's like a baby. cried like it. And that's such a wonderful thing to hear, because I love hearing stories like that. I love hearing about friends who have started watching this thing and going, oh my God, how did I not know about this before? And the thing is, when we went into watching Doctor Who, she was just sort of like, everyone liked it in my high school, and it was just...
I've never
She's younger than us.
No, just the fact that it was so long before Doctor Who came back out, and so long since it had ended when I was in high school, that hearing that kind of made me go, oh, okay.
She was like, everyone liked Matt Smith, and I didn't care, and, you know, I was the contrary punk kid who just went, no, fuck you, I hate Doctor Who, and then... She started watching. It was like, oh my God, how have I been missing this for my life? So, and those are, I love those stories. They're the best part of being a nerd, is getting to introduce somebody to this new thing. And of course, there are shitty people on the internet, but
yeah. Of course, they're just so misinformed
people on the internet
because they hide behind their gut. We all know this, that they hide behind their computer screens and they just angrily or just misinform and just talk about whatever they feel that they want to talk about. And this goes back to something I saw on the internet a long time ago about
how they go behind a presidential podium.
Right.
With a bad wig.
But not that you're naming anyone specific.
No.
But we don't get political on this show. No, my point is that in this day and age...
Burn, baby, burn.
In this day and age, no matter who you are, what you're doing, ignorance is a fucking choice. Because with Google and how you can find out anything that you need to find out, and if you find accredited sources and not just going off the first fucking thing you see, and Wikipedia is not necessarily an accredited source.
Ah, but you can find the accredited sources in Wikipedia.
If you do the right thing, you can.
I like Wikipedia a lot.
I'm just saying that ignorance is a choice. If you can't speak intelligently about something and you say you've researched it, and you've just read one article on something, that's a choice to be ignorant, because you can find out anything you want to this day and age. It's the first, Google is the matrix, I'm
that's
sorry.
That's why I Google before I share any,
yeah.
any
or
fact-based, I don't know, I put air quotes around the word fact, any quote fact, end quote, based meme I ever see. Before I share it, I'll always make sure it's correct.
Right. Yeah. Or before I talk about something, or if I have an intelligent, if I have a conversation with somebody, I'll be like, this is what I know of it. I will preface what I say and just simply say, this is what I know of it. If you know more, please, you know, that's great. You know, and that's why I say, like, I can't talk intelligently about comic books because I haven't read a full comic book in a long time. The most recent one that I've started reading was The Walking Dead. It's good.
Okay.
I've been
watching the show, so
very different, very, very different from the TV show, but they've made it very clear that they were going to be different. Some of the stories are similar, but they've changed things. But the comic in itself is just as good. I would read it even if the show wasn't as popular as it is. I find it to be very good. But I go to you guys for the comic book stuff, and like I said, I have to research shit because I don't want to sound like an idiot. Wait, what? Want to sound less of an idiot?
There you go.
Let's be honest.
You got there.
Got there eventually.
And I, again, making faces on an audio cast, I just sort of made a, like, meh face when Nick said that he goes to us for comic books, because I don't read a whole lot of comic books either.
But you know more about comics than I do. I would say that's a fair
thing. I'm a bit of an information whore. Like, I read the shit out of everything. When I find out something that I think is interesting, I will start at Wikipedia and then go through their sources.
Right. That's, I've done that.
And it's entertaining to me. That's how I love to read, is just sort of go through Wikipedia, go through their sources, read what they say, read what the sources say, academic journals, all that. I love that.
Trust me, many, many nights of insomnia have been that. And if it starts somewhere, like it starts here, and then you start reading the sources, and then you start reading that, and then it leads you to a YouTube thing, and you start watching YouTube, and then you find other clips.
And then before you know it, you're on that weird part of YouTube.
Right? And like, what have I gotten myself into? Why am I watching this cat play a goddamn piano for the 20th time? Right. Why am I watching this guy sing Chocolate Rain?
I'm talking about the weird part of YouTube.
The porn the porn part of YouTube? There isn't a porn part of YouTube.
Actually, there is a porn part of YouTube. But no, I'm just talking about like the really messed up videos. Like anything that has to do with like llamas with hats.
Oh,
or any
yeah.
of their cartoons. Like the Marshmallow People, which Marshmallow People is in fact my favorite series of YouTube videos on the internet.
Right.
Right. And
anytime you run into cyanide and happiness sharks.
Oh, yeah.
And I also tried to, like, you know, I try to, when I am on some of those sites, I try to stick to people that I know, like, that I know are credible, like Philip DeFranco. I don't know if anybody watches any Philip DeFranco, but he is a very intelligent guy that, you know, talks about nerdy things or even going to the Nerdist. You know, and listening to what other nerds have to say about stuff. I feel that that's my source of, and that's many nights of insomnia of doing that. So, yeah.
P.S. Philip DeFranco would slap you for calling him a credible source.
I'm sure he would, but he's entertaining, and he speaks intelligently about things, and
he does.
And while he has his opinions that I don't always necessarily agree with, at least he has a intelligent response to as to why he feels or thinks the way that he does.
Yeah. And just so you know, yes, I also watch Philip DeFranco, and I really like his stuff. I don't know if I'd ever go to him as, like, a credible source, or... But for entertainment, I love him. I think he's spectacular, and I really actually enjoy watching his, like, family videos, because he just had a kid a few years ago.
Last year, his incredibly hot wife.
Oh, God, right? Oh, Lindsay DeFranco is... Anyways. But their child is super adorable. Yeah, go ahead, Kevin. Lindsay DeFranco.
I was saying, how do I not know what she looks like?
Capital D, small e.
Wow, good for him.
Right? And she's not stupid either. I mean, she's not. I mean, she's very attractive.
No, she's actually
very
really
intelligent.
If you ever go back
and
watch.
Not a trophy wife.
No, if you go back and watch on her old YouTube channel, like way back, she used to do like travel blogs and food blogs. And she was. She's super fucking smart. Okay. And I don't know how that fat Italian kid got her, but good for him.
Because he's charming.
Is he?
Are you end up on Epic Mealtime? Oh, god damn. If you ever want to feel like your arteries hardened by just watching a YouTube video, go to Epic Mealtime.
Yep, worth it.
Oh my god.
Also, that gentleman's excellent beard. Harley had a great beard for a while. It was wonderful.
I think I'm going to end this cast, speaking of beards, since I'm looking at both of you two and your beards. Who has the best beard in Star Wars?
Sir Alec Guinness.
I really, really enjoyed Mark Hamill's beard, actually.
That was a beautiful beard.
That was a pretty... I mean, Alec Guinness, great.
But Alec Guinness's was refined and trimmed and a proper English gentleman's beard.
And I'm okay
Mark
with
Hamill's
Mark Hamill's
was the scraggly crazy man beard.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm really okay. I thought he looked great.
But I'm going to change my answer to Chewbacca.
I was almost even going to say Count Dooku's.
Best beard in the Star... Oh, Amidala then. Thank you.
That's a mustache. That doesn't count.
No, she was talking about how gay Hayden Christensen is.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
I was picking up at your
point. Thank you. I'm glad you were there.
I got you.
Sorry, I'm not so smart.
It's okay. You have the computer. We have to keep you.
Well, you all have computers that are sitting right in front of you.
And it's my mic. Oh, wait, why are you here?
Because I'm the producer.
It's your apartment, too.
Yeah, I'm producing the show.
I have an apartment.
I'm still producing.
I don't know if we need you anymore, Nick.
I own the podcast.
Fuck. Yeah, he does pay for it. I forgot.
I do pay for it.
All right.
Anyway. All right, we can keep you.
Yeah.
We're contractually obligated to keep you.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, Kevin. I don't know. I want to know
if that
every episode
count.
we have to get Kevin to nerd the fuck out and freak get a nerdy freak out going. Not that again. We do have a Facebook page that started, so if you...
Yes!
Yay, Facebook pages.
Yes, best threesome ever, 3 as the number, not the word.
Right, so check us out, post comments, questions, you know, obviously if you find us on Podbean, please, again, add questions or comments or like us, that would be even better. So, any last closing words or thoughts?
Witness? Boobs? Boobs.
Boobs.
Daisy Ridley.
Kevin gets into his little 12-year-old boy stance with the hands on his chin, daydreaming about Daisy Ridley.
I feel like we need to just post pictures of Kevin's various daydream places.
Right. Yeah, so check us out on Facebook, check us out on Podbean, which is where you can listen to this. Otherwise, find us on Facebook. That being said, may the Force be with you, and watch... episode 7 as many times as possible.
Nerd.
Today's show is brought to you by Rob saying exactly what I say half a second after me. Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.